welcome to the Switchblade Sisters Social Club, a true crime podcast where two sisters exploit their worst fears for your entertainment. You're welcome. I'm Dee.
And I'm Rhonda, and together we are the Sake Sisters. For more information, check out our website at www.switchbladesistersocialclub.com or find us on Instagram and Facebook at Switchblade Sisters Social Club.
Thanks for listening. Hi, this is Switchblade Sisters Social Club. The true crime podcast where two sisters exploit their worst fears for your entertainment. You're welcome. I'm Dee.
And I'm Rhonda.
Hi.
Hi.
I went to a gig on Friday night, a Sonic Boom 6 gig with Baldhead, Rochambeau, and JB Conspiracy. It was so good. Now, some of you might know JB Conspiracy from the Angela Lansbury t-shirt fame.
Mm-hmm.
My friend Vicky bought me the best Christmas present, JB Conspiracy t-shirt, a band I love. They're an amazing band anyways, if you like sort of ska punk. And they've got a t-shirt with Angela Lansbury on it. And who doesn't love her? But basically, saw them at the gig, small gig at Signature Brew. It was really, really good fun. And bumped into the lead singer at the bar. And my friend Vicky was like, "You were great." And I was like, "I've worn your t-shirt on my podcast." And he was like, "You're the one."
Oh, what?
And he said that his wife listens.
Are you serious? Oh my God. Hi.
Hi. We love you.
We do.
I just love the thought of like JB Conspiracy playing in my household and my podcast playing in their household.
Oh my God. How weird. Why does no one tell us they listen?
Tell us your fun things like this. Honestly, it's like those little moments that make it.
Oh, completely.
Isn't it?
Completely. Because I know who listens because they respond to our people's pulse, but I assume it's just them. And I'm happy with that.
Very happy with our core top fan listeners. We love you guys so much.
Yeah, I'm happy just with the listeners that we know and love. But to hear that there's more is always crazy.
It's just absolutely adorable, isn't it?
Yeah.
Makes our day.
Crazy. I honestly still cannot get over how anyone listens to us.
I know, because if you listen to our parents, we're annoying.
To everyone. But the other thing is, like, I was thinking about it today. Most podcasters, like professional ones, are in a studio. You know, they're looking their Sunday best when they record. It's all professional. Me and you were wearing fucking matching pajamas, sitting cozy of an evening in our houses.
Telling stories to each other.
Yeah, this is by no means a high budget operation. And yeah, it fucking astounds me. It's like literally the best compliment that people actually listen.
I know. It's so cute.
But you know what? Those other podcasters, they got it wrong. They need to be in their pajamas at home chilling, being natural, don't you think?
Yeah. They're probably getting paid so they can buy nice fancy pajamas. Do you know what? I was watching, catching up this weekend on Married at First Sight, Australia.
Oh, is there a new season? Why doesn't anybody tell me? I'm always like years behind people and there's no one to tell me.
Oh my God, get involved. It's so good.
Okay. I'm starting that tonight.
All right. But there's one guy on it that like they suspect they're not sure whether he's on the show for genuine reasons, i.e. to find love. They think he's on there to promote his podcast.
Oh, yeah, fair enough.
I just thought, that's a weird way.
Marketing. Everything's an opportunity.
Yeah. So can I just ask you to tell me the fucking story?
Yes. Okay. So this is one that Jamie told me about months ago. And I don't know, like you, Jamie just knows these fucking obscure stories. And I don't even know how she picks them up because they're not even ones that have been on documentaries and stuff.
She must read books.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I know she does. Because she has that Goodreads app, you know, she reads a lot. Mm. Geeks. She spends time on social media like me. Okay, so this story, obviously Jamie helped research because Jamie is indispensable. So this story is, let me tell you the fucking story. The mysterious case of Phoebe Hanschuk, the 24-year-old found dead at the bottom of a trash chute. And I hope to God that I pronounced her name right.
And you know what? I know the story.
Oh, fuck you. You know the story. How do you know the story?
I think I've listened to a few podcasts about it, but it's such a bizarre.
Yes. I'm just going to tell you the story. Okay. Tragically, on the 2nd of December, 2010, 24-year-old Phoebe Hanschuk's life was cut short in one of the most bizarre incidents in Australian history. So the concierge at a luxury Melbourne apartment tower is making her way to the garbage room, to the bin room, and she's looking for a broom, but something blocks the door. So she gives it a shove with her shoulder and catches sight of what looks like a person lying among fallen bins, like bin bags. So she panics, and when she braves a second look, she sees a young woman lying in a pool of blood. And it's Phoebe, who had fallen 40 meters feet first from the weight disposal shaft to the compactor below. She lives 12 stories above with her 40-year-old boyfriend, Anthony Hempel. He was a rich son of a Supreme Court judge and never officially charged or suspected, despite being described as extremely controlling. A lot of the evidence was pointing at him. So the toxicology report revealed that Phoebe had a blood alcohol reading of 0.16%, which is more than three times the legal driving limit, and high levels of prescription drugs, which were sleeping pills. On the 7th of December, homicide detectives said that no second party was involved in Phoebe's death. She had entered the chute feet first voluntarily. So just to describe what a disposal chute is, there was an episode of Friends that people might remember where Rachel was trying to fit a pizza box in it and was struggling to do that because it's a small opening. You wouldn't imagine that an adult would be able to fit in there. And I'll go in more detail about that. So she survived the fall, but the garbage compactor at the bottom had virtually severed her right foot. And Phoebe bled out in the dark alone with her jeans around her knees. But how did she get into the chute and why? So the police at the scene quickly reached the conclusion of suicide, but the coroner recorded death by misadventure and decided she had climbed in herself. But there were no fingerprints at the top of the chute, because you would have thought that if she'd have climbed in herself, she would have had fingerprints to open the chute itself and actually climb herself in. Her family doubted the coroner's version that was even physically possible. And there was even some tests done on that, which I'll talk about.
And if she has access to prescription drugs, why is she thinking I'm going to kill myself by chopping myself up in a bin room?
Yeah, it doesn't seem like an obvious choice, because as they found, she wasn't instantly killed. So there have been no known incidents of a cause of death like this in the whole history of Australia. And it's a mystery quickly written off as an accident without much investigation. But one thing Phoebe does have on her side is that her grandfather is a retired detective. Phoebe was born on 9th of May, 1986 in Melbourne, Australia. And her father, Len, was a psychiatrist who describes her as being on the brink of sorting her life out. At 15, Phoebe began drinking and experimenting with drugs.
Who didn't?
Well, yeah. She was prescribed antidepressants and attended therapy. She struggled with her mental health, but her father said she was really turning things around at this point. Phoebe was 23 and working on reception at a hair salon when she met 39-year-old Anthony Hempel, who was a client there. He was a allegedly handsome events promoter. His father was Supreme Court Judge George Hempel, and his stepmother was County Court Judge Felicity Hempel. Over the next 14 months, Phoebe was drinking heavily and told her psychiatrist, Joanna Young, that Hempel was verbally abusive, and she had actually left him four times in the 6 weeks before her death. But her friends say that Hempel always managed to lure her back.
That's a lot.
Yeah. So on the day of her death, which was the 2nd of December, 2010, Phoebe, her father, Len, and Hempel were supposed to have dinner together. In the meantime, Phoebe was hanging around the apartment she shared with Hempel, and she was captured on CCTV footage leaving the apartment at 11:44 a.m. with her dog following a fire alarm before returning to the 12th floor residence. Hempel claimed to have arrived home shortly after 6 p.m. and was met by shards of broken glass and blood splattered across the keyboard and computer, and Phoebe was nowhere to be found. Yet her purse, wallet, and keys were on the kitchen counter. Authorities concluded that Phoebe entered the chute between 12:03 p.m. after returning to the building after the fire alarm drill, and 7 p.m. The chute was narrow and measured 14.5 by 8.6 inches. So just bigger than a 30 centimeter ruler.
Fucking hell. Yeah. It's like a large parcel box.
Exactly. You would struggle to get a pizza box in there.
I'd struggle to get my fucking rubbish bin in.
Yeah. So while it certainly allowed for someone her size to climb into, the coroner said she had fallen feet first with both hands by her side. I find it even hard to imagine even a very slim build girl getting into that, even that width.
And again, why would you pick this way?
Yeah. So police revealed that Phoebe had initially survived her fall and bled to death in the dark after trying to crawl out of the disposal room at the bottom. And her grandfather, his name was Lorne Campbell, he was a retired police detective, and he received the news on the phone at 10 p.m. the day she was found. Arriving at the scene, he was immediately convinced of only one thing. Right from the start, he said, "I believe she'd been murdered." And after 5 days of leaving the CCTV footage and all of Phoebe's computers and devices behind, which I always think, check those, you know, homicide detectives concluded that there had been no foul play. They theorized that Phoebe had cut her hand in the apartment, which is why Hempel found blood across the keyboard, and that she climbed into the chute while trying to dispose of the broken glass. Why? Her grandfather said they just missed so much. And indeed, he noticed that in addition to the wine glasses that she broke, samples of large shoe prints leading from the apartment were ignored. He tried recreating the climb into the chute with a chute replica and Phoebe's friends as test subjects.
I remember that bit. And it reminds me of Gareth Williams when they tried tests in the bag whether you could close it without leaving... Yeah, whether you could get out without the, with it being, et cetera, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It reminded me of that too. Exactly. Yeah, because how was it possible? Could it be possible to do yourself? Or is it just completely not even feasible that that's...
So now they're saying that she didn't do it on purpose. She wasn't trying to kill herself. She fell in by accident.
Well, this is one thing that was one of the theories. So her grandfather tried to recreate it using her friends as test subjects. They were sober and athletic, and they found it extremely difficult. Senior detective Brendan Pine and Phoebe's grandfather attempted to unravel the mystery. In 2013, 3 years after her death, a full inquest into her death started after her mother raised $50,000 to cover the proceedings. Hempel's attorney objected to the notion that Phoebe was murdered, with coroner Peter White testifying that she sleepwalked into the chute herself.
So now she's doing it asleep. All right. Okay.
Yeah. So because she was taking sleeping pills at the time and they found that in her system, this was one of the theories. So on December 10th, 2014, 4 years after her death, the inquest concluded in Hempel's favor. So I found a commentary by her grandfather on the findings of Coroner White. These are some excerpts. So the finding was made that no other party was involved. It positively eliminated not only Hempel, but any person from any possible complicity in Phoebe's death. The evidence does not support that finding. Coroner White found that Phoebe, despite her state of intoxication, not only climbed unassisted into the chute, but climbed down, or at least delayed her fall by exerting lateral pressure on the 530 millimeter diameter vertical shaft. So that's like 50 centimeters. Using her arms, legs, and back outstretched somewhat to grip or slow her fall against the walls of the trash chute. And apart from the extreme physical difficulty of this suggested mode of descent, that of vertical steel shaft, photographs showed that there was relatively little dirt on her body or clothes, and there was evidence that inside of the shaft was very dirty. So what the coroner said of her trying to delay her fall by sort of trying to sort of, you know, grip onto the sides could not have been the case because the shaft was dirty, her clothes were still clean. So on reading the pathologist report, one of a number of things drew her grandfather's attention was the measurement of Phoebe's height as approximately 1.66 meters, whereas her actual height was almost 10 centimeters more. So either the post-mortem measurement was incorrect, or her body had been compressed and shortened by the force of her fall, which I didn't even know was a thing that could happen. For the pathologist, the task of making an accurate height measurement could have been difficult given the fractures to both legs and the near severance of her right foot, which remained attached only by a tendon.
Oh, I mean, that poor girl's last moments.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the saddest thing when someone's on their own.
In a bin room.
Yeah. So the coroner discounts family evidence of Phoebe's height and has accepted the pathologist's measurement of 166 centimeters as her actual height. This would support his theory that she did not free fall, because if 166 centimeters was her true height, it would mean there had been no compression of her body. There were too many uncertainties in the evidence, largely due to deficiencies in police handling of the case, to allow any positive finding as to whether or not another person was involved. Hempel arrived home at 6.09 p.m., which was shown by his entry swipe in the lift, and Phoebe was discovered by the concierge shortly after 7. This means he was home for nearly an hour before she was found, and there was no precise time of death. There were indications that Hempel had used his computer at different times over that period, and his counsel claimed that the computer usage served as alibi evidence sufficient to preclude the possibility that he could have put Phoebe into the chute.
Why?
I don't know.
I mean, I presume the chute is just down the hall.
Yes.
If anything, it puts him at the scene, doesn't it?
Yeah, and also the fact that he was on the internet between 6 and 7 doesn't mean he's not guilty.
And also, didn't you say there was, like, broken glass and blood in the apartment? Was he not like, what the fuck's happened here?
Yeah, and then one theory was also that they had had a fight, which I'll talk about.
You mean the theory that the only one that makes sense?
Yeah.
Allegedly?
So, however, the analyst was unable to say for how long Hempel actually used the computer after each logged start time. Doesn't necessarily take an hour to murder someone and dispose of a body, and there is time in that window to use the internet, especially if he's looking for an alibi. Be like, oh, look, I was sending emails. I clearly wasn't committing murder.
Both his parents are like court judges and whatever. He's going to know about stuff like that.
Yeah. So Phoebe had unexplained injuries to her head, which seemed to be unlikely results of a feet first fall. Injuries consistent with her being struck on the right side of the jaw with sufficient force to knock the left side of her head against a solid object, such as a wall, that she had been close to or leaning against one, a likely possibility considering her level of intoxication. She had a 1 centimeter abrasion accompanied by bruising on the right side of her jawbone, and that was described by the pathologist as a subdural hemorrhage present over the left parietal cortex, upper left side of the brain. There was also an adjacent 1 centimeter abrasion on the outside of Phoebe's head above her left ear, consistent with striking something and consistent with a physical attack. The same can be said concerning unexplained circular and ovoid bruises on her right medial upper arm, consistent with grip marks, also bruising to her left wrist and neck. And all of these are injuries that you wouldn't have if you literally just went down a chute. The fact is that nothing in the evidence pointed to the possibility of a physical attack that they presented, at least.
So they just didn't mention that she had grip marks and clearly had been strangled.
And Dr. Lynch, the pathologist, stated in his autopsy report, "I am not in a position to exclude the possibility of involvement of other parties. The possibility of another party being involved also arose from the observations of a witness. A person apparently working as a tradesman was observed by a tenant mid-afternoon getting into the lift in which she was traveling from the underground parking area." So there were other people in the building.
Yeah, sounds like a massive building.
Yeah, at least 12 floors. So following media publicity, the tradesman was identified and interviewed by the police, and he denied visiting the 12th floor. And his denial was accepted since there was no contradictory electronic recording of any buzz up to the 12th floor. Detective Senior Constable Howells, one of the police officers working on the case, noted a trail of dirt marks apparently left by the footwear of either a tall person or someone running along the 12th floor hallway, but these were not photographed, sampled, measured, or further examined, which I just think is mental, because imagine if they were Hempel's footprints, his shoe prints. I remember in Delroy Graham, part of the evidence that led them towards him was his Nike footprint. There's so many cases that we've covered where if the police had just done those initial checks, like remember with the Menendez brothers, although we have sympathies with them to a certain degree, had they checked for, you know, like the, what is it, the ammunition?
Gunshot residue?
Gunshot residue, yeah. Had they checked that, the scene of the crime, it would have been case closed, you know? So the computerized system recording the buzz-ups in the lift was shown to be fallible when no recording was found to indicate members of the Hempel family going to the 12th floor later on that evening of Phoebe's death. So his family came up that night, but it wasn't recorded. So the whole, you know, tracking system of who's coming in and out was not reliable. There was also a period of around 20 minutes during the fire alarm before 11:44, which had resulted in Phoebe emerging with her dog from the front door of the building when the computerized system for recording buzz ups was deactivated entirely. So this would have allowed anyone to access any part of the building undetected by the recording system during that time. So there was blood on a computer mouse, a mouse pad, and a door arch, and a computer keyboard, the latter being the only blood stain in the apartment that was DNA tested, and it was shown to be Phoebe's. And droplets of her blood were found on the floor of the 12th floor refuse room, bin room. The coroner described this blood in the refuse room as a small portion of blood from her earlier cut when she'd broken a glass. So there was a theory that she'd either broken a glass herself when she was alone, or that it was happened in a fight that she had with Hempel. The coroner suggested that Phoebe was in a sleepwalking state, or at least completely disorientated, because she had taken Stilnox, which is sleeping pills. And there was no evidence, however, that Stilnox produced any kind of bizarre behavior. So the theory of her sleepwalking and getting into a chute, and can you imagine getting into a chute, doing something really sort of physically difficult when you're on sleeping pills? It's going to be even harder to do.
That you've never done before, I presume.
Yeah.
It's not like it's a routine thing she does.
Yeah.
I'd find it easier to believe her getting in her car and driving to work.
Yeah. When Hempel made a specific request of the coroner for a finding totally eliminating the prospect that he had in any way been involved in her death, her grandfather put a submission to Coroner White giving 8 concise reasons as to why such a finding should not be made. And the coroner said he noted his grandfather or her grandfather's submissions, but disregarded them. And remember, her grandfather was a retired detective.
So he found 8 reasons why they should still consider Hempel a suspect, basically. Yeah. And they ignored it.
And there's more crazy stuff that I'm going to tell you. So here are some additional points. Ambulance officers who arrived at the scene were not allowed to touch Phoebe's body, and there was a chance that she could have even still been alive, because we know that she didn't die on impact. So I don't know why they were instructed not to touch her body. At least one of 3 potential crime scenes were not properly secured. Not all the blood found in the apartment was DNA tested, only on the door arch. Blood on the door of the bin room was not DNA tested. No CCTV was recovered on the night of the death, and the hard drive of CCTV later went missing, allegedly. Hempel's iPhone was not seized on the night of Phoebe's death. Again, take the fucking phones, do some like detective work, you know? The computer was not seized on the night of Phoebe's death. Suicide assumption by the police meant that no access was granted to her email records, and her email history was later found to be totally erased. Yeah. Phoebe's Nokia phone was never found because her iPhone was being repaired at the time. So she was using another phone. And there was confusion and differing accounts regarding the repair of the iPhone in the days leading up to her death. A record showed a call from Hempel to Phoebe's Nokia phone on the day she died, which connected for 13 seconds. But Hempel says he cannot explain it and is adamant they didn't speak on the phone the day she died.
That's weird, because it's hardly suspicious if a boyfriend and girlfriend speak together.
Yeah. The iPhone SIM card later went missing after detectives told Hempel to keep it.
Why are you telling a potential suspect, keep hold of this bit of evidence?
So the SIM card went missing. Her emails were deleted. CCTV went missing. So a little bit about the Hempel family. They were a wealthy family with powerful connections. Chrissy Hempel, which is his sister, avoided a conviction on drug trafficking due to potential embarrassment to her family.
What? Mm-hmm. Was that the official reason she wasn't done?
Well, this is what Jamie's research told me. Chrissy's Facebook post in 2016, which is 6 years after Phoebe's death, said, "I only hope that one day the truth will come out," when she posted about Phoebe. It sounded like Chrissy was aware that her brother had involvement. Then, what's even crazier, Hempel went on to date 25-year-old model Bailey Schneider in 2018. Now, I don't know why any woman would touch him with a barge pole after this.
No, but also please tell me she's okay.
Only for her to die with a gold cord wrapped around her neck mere hours after the two broke up. Yeah. She was discovered at her family home in Mooney Ponds, and her death was ruled a suicide by asphyxiation. But her parents insist this is impossible. The death of Bailey after relationship breakup was allegedly not suspicious, the deputy state coroner ruled. So now this is a guy with two deceased girlfriends.
Yeah, both at the sort of end of the relationship.
Yeah, so Bailey's death attracted considerable public attention because she had been dating Hempel at the time and had become caught up in the city's nightclub and drug scene. And phone records showed the pair had been in extensive contact in the hours before her death, with Bailey telling her mother that morning she had just broken up with Anthony, who was 51 at the time. So where is Hempel now? He has since moved out of that apartment and has reportedly settled down and happily married with two deceased girlfriends.
It sounds like someone who just cannot have anyone tell him no.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Yeah. And that we've seen a lot of that, you know, like the Murdochs, the rich families, where rich, corrupt families.
Just so entitled.
Like Dominique Strauss-Kahn, and somehow they fucking get away with it.
Allegedly.
But there are certain things that keep popping up, and it's, you know, it's a mystery how people with all the evidence pointing at them and really no other concrete, conclusive theories, that people still get away with it.
It's so depressing.
It really is. It really is, because two young girls, because of this fucking...
It's so shocking. We haven't even touched on the fact that this like 50-year-old is going out with people in their early 20s.
I know, because I was going to say that, and I thought that is the least of his fucking crimes, even though it's most likely wrong on so many levels. It's a sad fucking story.
Oh, poor girl. It just breaks my heart, her last like moments.
Mm-hmm. So what'd you think? You knew about that one already, huh?
I did, but it was so... I actually, sorry, was thinking about another case. There's another case very similar with a girl who lives in an apartment with her boyfriend, and there was a whole bunch of weird fuck-ups in the interrogation and the investigation. But she had been stabbed, and they said that it was suicide. And I just think, like, I know you can technically stab yourself to death, but it just seems to me a very strange way to go about it.
You know, it just also, it just makes me so angry that how do the detectives and the police officers and, you know, whoever's involved in the case sleep at night knowing? How does anyone...
How do they stand up and say these ridiculous theories?
And how do they want people like Hempel back on the streets?
It's money, isn't it? It's power. Just heartbreaking.
It is. I hate it. I fucking hate it. Let's talk about the People's Pulse, because I feel so fucking depressed after talking about that one.
People's Pulse. People's Pulse. People's Pulse.
So today's question is, would you rather have everyone you know be able to read your thoughts, or for everyone you know to have access to your internet history? I thought it was an obvious one.
Why? What would you do?
I would rather people look at my internet history, right?
Same. Because you're not Googling, why is this person such a fucking idiot in my life?
Yeah, and also I think the only people, like, okay, there's going to be people looking at porn and, like, maybe some other embarrassing shit, but, like, the only people who I think would think internet history was worse than people being able to read your thoughts is if they were looking at some, like, dark web shit.
Yeah, or if they were having an affair.
Yeah, because don't you think, like, damn... Maybe it's just me, but daily when I interact with people, I have thoughts that I don't want them to know.
I would be more concerned of people being like, wow, she's a mess. Because I don't often think bad things about people, but my mind is like, ping, 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 random thought alert, that they would just look at me and be like, wow, how is she a functioning adult with all of that random shit going on?
Well, you're a good person and definitely a better person than me, because mine would be that, like,
are these shoes? Yeah, but you say those things out loud.
Oh, that's the least bad. No, it's just that I'm polite and friendly, but really what's going on in my head is just fucking leave me alone. Stop talking. Don't tell me about
the weather. When can I leave?
When is this over? So yeah, that.
I would agree. I would have presumed that most people said internet history, but go on.
Okay, yeah. So let's see. Okay. We got our friend US Karen. She says definitely internet history. Because there was no internet when I was young and stupid. Oh, Karen, you cutie. I love it when she pops up in the DMs. And now we've got Coventry Karen. She says, I would much rather everyone could see my internet history than read my thoughts. My brain is a very strange place to be.
So she's also one who'd be worried about being judged if people...
Oh my God, you're such good people. Because your immediate thought is not that, oh shit, they're going to like... read my
know that I hate stuff. Their face.
Oh, do you know what? I love how when the people's pulse tells you about it, teaches you something about the person, huh? You know,
I love it.
Then we got Jane, our friend Jane. She says, anyone can read my internet history, it's boring. I doubt it because Jane is not boring. And my internal thoughts and pondering are not for public consumption. I want to know what goes on in your head. Then we have, guess who we have? Our favorite criminologist.
Honor!
Yes! And I am honored that she fucking even pays attention to our people's pulse, that she even was a guest, because she is true crime
royalty. Go and check out the episode we did with her. It was amazing.
Honor says, internet history for sure. Okay, so then we got a few submissions on Facebook. So my dearest Julia, who I used to work with. Hi, Julia. She says, in response to Michelle Morris, who said internet history, I feel would definitely be the lesser of two evils. Julia agrees. And Lindsay, our friend Lindsay, says, oh my God, these choices are just hideous. And I'm glad Lindsay said that, because
that's the point.
Yes. When we were thinking about this, the whole point of like the what would you rather is that they're both fucking awful.
I thought that you were actually going to ask, would you rather everyone can read your mind or you can read everyone's mind?
Oh, I don't want that. Oh, shit. Oh, I mean, I didn't want the second one, because imagine how fucking destroyed you would be if the people that you love thought fucking terrible things about you. Oh, I think I'd rather they could read. Oh, that's a good one. Let's save that. Okay, so then, Brewery Market.
Oh, Linda.
Says internet history. And our friend Debbie at True Crime University, check out True Crime University podcast, says internet history for sure. Yeah, so actually that was unanimous. Fucking unanimous. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to look at my fucking search history. Let's do this now, Dee.
All right.
Let's be honest. Be fucking honest. I'm going to be totally fucking honest. Oh my God, mine is so dumb. Oh God. I'm going to have to go to yesterday as well, just because today is fucking dire. I really exposed myself for the loser that I am. Okay. Want me to go? And we're going to be totally fucking honest.
Yeah, we're
going to. As always.
She says, just looking to make sure. Mine's boring.
Mine is so boring. I'm going to have to go to yesterday and see if I Googled some weird shit. I think the weird shit I Google on my phone, to be fair.
Yeah, but it comes up. Mine are connected, so this is
all mine stuff. Mine isn't. Who's going to go first with our boring
you.
Shit that no one wants to listen to? Okay, so Zoom. Email, Outlook, Asana, my project management system. Chicago Manual of Style, because I was editing. That's today. Oh God, I depressed myself yesterday. Oh my God, Googling whether Anglo-Saxons was hyphenated.
Rock and roll, motherfucker.
Googling whether African American.
Wait. Everyone's going to want to know now, is it?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Okay.
And for context, it's because I'm editing a book, which I will tell you about when it's out. Googling the correct spelling of Christendom. and whether it's interchangeable with Christianity, then...
Wait, is it?
Kind of. And then slightly different meanings.
Sorry, but if you're telling us about a question you asked, you have to tell us the answer.
Honestly, I think we're literally, this is probably the worst fucking content in the whole history of three series. I don't think I should go into this any further. And then lastly, the most interesting thing was Emojipedia, which is one of my most frequently used websites because a lot of my work is social media.
Oh.
And that, I'm disappointed myself. That is my fucking search history. Oh my God. I'm going to look on my phone to see if there's anything better. Clown porn. Maybe I'll just make it up.
Yeah.
Oh, my phone is more interesting, but it's not that much more interesting.
Go on then.
Oh, it's not. It's fucking dire. I need to get a fucking hobby. Oh my God. Okay. So I was Googling Jo Malone cologne. I was Googling Sweaty Betty. I was doing my LinkedIn course. Then I was looking at the National Autistic Society. Then I was looking at BAIS bags, love their bags, spelled B-E-I-S. Then I was looking at John Lewis. Oh my God, I'm such a...
I think we might have a late entry, late entry.
Oh.
Go on Instagram.
Oh, who we got? Oh, please save the fucking show because we have just... Whoa! Yay, our fave Sam. Okay, so the majority of my Googling is trying to find the spelling of words I'm trying to type. Oh my God, another one. I'm so far out that autocorrect can't get itself there. I'd much prefer people knowing this than people knowing when I'm talking to someone I'm usually thinking about when I can squeeze in my next nap. Hope it's not too late. Oh, and he loves us both. It's never too late. Love you.
All right, my search history.
Okay.
All of our Google Drive folders for the different episodes. Can you believe we're on episode 6 of season 3 already?
I'm fucking surprised we're even on season 3.
I'm surprised that any of this is happening. Inbox, loads of inbox, loads of Zoom. A restaurant in Kyoto called La Rue because I was watching the new season of Somebody Feed Phil, which I love. If you haven't watched it, it's on Netflix. It's kind of like a travel show where he's like eating all the local food and stuff. Travel and food. What's not to like, and it's quite funny. What else have we got? Wordle. Sicily, because I'm supposed to go with my parents to Sicily, but just booking the holiday is stressing me out so much that I don't think 7 nights on an island is a good idea. Then I was Googling Taylor Swift's clothing brand.
Oh!
Because someone was wearing a jumper and I asked them, where's that jumper from? Because it's beautiful. And she said, it's Taylor Swift's clothing brand.
Oh, I didn't know she had clothes.
Very expensive, even on eBay. So then I was looking up who was Tia Coffey's ex on RuPaul's Drag Race because they were talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
Then I was Googling would you rather questions. And then I was Googling York, Colin Sutton, because I'm going to see Colin Sutton in York. And then the day after... If anyone's going to this, let me know, because I'd love to meet up. The day after the event in York, which I want to say is May 17th, but I don't know. He's doing an event at Criminally Good Books in York the day after. So two reasons.
Oh, and you know who my new crush is? Malcolm X. Because he's in the book that I'm editing. And like, I knew he was a cool guy. But now I'm like, yeah, totally into him. Well, now we have exposed ourselves for the boring fucks that we are by our search history.
The other advantage is having this podcast means any weird shit that does come up, we can be like, yeah, research.
Mm-hmm. We are so boring and I'm so depressed about it.
All right. Well, I love you.
I love you.
The sexy listeners.
Every single one, which is now increased by one.
At least. Should I go on Married at First Sight UK to get more listeners? To promote the podcast like that guy on Australia.
Oh my God. Do you know, if you were ever on a show like that and people were mean to you, I can't say on the podcast what I would do because it may be used against me in the future. Anyone is ever mean to Dee,
I would just cry.
It will be fucking devastating for them.
Rhonda was always my little like warrior.
Scrappy do.
It's funny because you're like almost a foot shorter than me.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how that happened. You know when there's like siblings and one gets the duffer jeans?
Like twins.
Yeah. You like the film Twins, you mean, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm Danny DeVito.
Have you watched It's Always Sunny?
No, not yet. I've been promising for a year, aka 3 seasons. But you told me Loudermilk was funny and I didn't fucking laugh.
Oh, well then try It's Always Sunny.
Did you laugh out loud with Loudermilk?
No.
Is the question. Well, that's it, because...
But I rarely laugh out loud.
I'm
not like ruffling.
But we did laugh out loud with Superbad. We did laugh out loud with Bits of the Hangover. We fucking laughed out loud every episode of Summer Heights High.
That's true.
That's my benchmark.
That's high.
Mm.
That was fun.
Love you, everyone.
Love you. Love you, sexy listeners. Yeah. See you next week. Bye. Bye.
Hey there. Thanks for being a loyal listener.
Do you need a new website or want to boost your social media performance? Or do you hate podcast editing? You've tried optimizing your website and social media channels, but you're still not getting the listeners, downloads, and engagement you want?
We, the Safi Sisters, love helping people with tasks that they hate. We know a thing or two about podcasts, websites, and social media, and we love working with other podcasters and business owners.
So why not head over to SwitchbladeSistersSocialClub.com and go to our Work With Us section. We believe in collaboration over competition. A rising tide raises all ships.
Bye!